How's it going, everybody? Welcome to episode 6 of Command Cinema. We're coming back after our little hiatus. my name is Drew.
I'm Malachi.
And I'm Cody.
And this week, we're going to start off our next little run of episodes on The Godfather.
Cody, do you want to give us a brief rundown? Because this is your movie. You love this series. Yeah. Except for the third one.
I couldn't do it justice. Honestly, the fans deserve to hear more than a Wikipedia rip off. But, I mean, that's honestly the best justice we can possibly do. I mean, how do you describe The Godfather in a few brief sentences, honestly?
Can you do it in, like, 10 words or less?
No.
Come on.
I'll give it a shot, but I'm going to butcher it for sure. Okay. You have the Don. The leader, the head family of the Corleone. Yeah. and he runs stuff.
Okay.
And yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about, Drew. That's exactly what that movie was. He runs stuff.
There's a lot of feuds between a lot of the families. A lot of politics involved. Everything was fine. Danny, everybody got along until things got a little out of hand.
How many words is that?
More than 10.
Way more than 10.
According to a brief little description of what The Godfather really is, it's widely regarded as one of the greatest films of all time. Francis Ford Coppola's The Godfather follows the powerful Italian-American crime family, the Corleones, when Michael, the youngest son of the Don, Vito Corleone, he becomes involved with the mafia's world of violence and betrayal. We see Michael sink deeper into the family trade when really he's just trying to have a more normal life with his wife, Kay. And it kind of goes over the Corleones' interactions with all of the families in New York and New Jersey and the surrounding areas, eventually some trade in Las Vegas and some other place. I think like on the edge of like Nevada.
So what have you all seen recently? We totally skipped over that. We're a little rusty, so.
Rusty.
Recently, since our last episode, I've seen 15 movies since our last episode. It's not anywhere close to how many Drew has probably seen. But a couple of my favorites that I've seen so far have been, I saw Onward, which I really enjoyed. I watched Raging Bull, that I thought was a pretty good movie. Tiger Tail is no good. Don't let the Netflix hype fool you. And I saw the original Blade Runner, I think are the couple of notable ones that I've seen. So I'm really excited to watch 2049. What about you, Drew?
I've seen a couple movies.
A couple?
Recently. Probably no more than 5. I saw The Killing of a Sacred Deer. That was really cool. I liked that one a lot. I saw Star Wars Episode 9. That was awful.
Was that your first time watching it?
Yeah, it sucked.
You gotta watch it on the big screen. That way it can distract you from all of the plot holes.
I mean, I probably would have liked it more if it wasn't on, you know, my girlfriend's like 20-inch TV.
That thing's no bigger than your phone.
Yeah, like I just, the visuals are cool, but like, oh my god, everything about that movie is like a train wreck. I just really wasn't into it. I saw a ton of other stuff too, like way too many to mention. I'm embarrassed of how many movies I've seen during quarantine.
Please drop the number on us. What about you, Cody? Have you seen anything recently?
Yes. A few worth mentioning. I also saw Onward, which I really enjoyed. I watched The Apartment on the Criterion Channel with Jack Lemmon. Really enjoyed that. Heard a lot of good things about it before. It's kind of like a rom-com before rom-coms, I guess. Oh, I rewatched Anatomy. I've watched it several years back, but starring Jimmy Stewart.
You rewatched what now?
It's called Anatomy of a Murder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's a pretty good film. I didn't realize how long it was. I mean, it might not have been as long as I thought, but after screening it, it was like, okay. Maybe it's because I've already seen it, and I already know how it's going to conclude, and it was just dragging out. But I enjoyed it. Anyways, good flick. I think it's on the Criterion Channel. Actually, I'm positive it is. So if you get a chance to watch that, definitely worth the watch.
Okay. Before we hop into The Godfather, I know we talked about The Deer Hunter last time we all talked off the pod. That movie is awesome. It is so good. I just want to give a shout out to Deer Hunter. Everybody should watch that movie.
What exactly is it about?
It's like the Robert De Niro, Christopher Walken, like kind of war drama from the 70s. Very, very intense, very long.
Then I know you love it. You love a long movie.
So good. It just like ramps up in intensity and then it just like goes back down and then it just comes back up again. It is very stressful. I really, really enjoyed it. It was awesome.
I think I told you personally on the side, I mean, I've seen plenty of war films that made me feel some type of way. But there's something about, of course, the famous scene where they're playing Russian roulette. I don't know if you appropriately caught Russian roulette in this situation because there are no Russians to be found, but they're back and forth, and then like he's telling his buddy, you know, just do it, you know, maybe potentially blowing his head off, which, you know, anyways, the movie is very intense, and I can only describe it as a roller coaster. I describe a lot of films, but that genuinely is a ride in itself. It's long, and it's painful.
There's so many like switches in tone. It is so, so good. That's been like my favorite thing that I've seen recently.
Just the atmosphere, like just knowing they're hunting, it's real peaceful and quiet, and then all of a sudden it gets, you know.
And the wedding scene, like that establishes all the characters, takes up the first like third of the movie.
You don't realize what's the purpose of this, and after.
Yeah, it like rolls you into like false security, and then it just like the shit hits the fan. It is. Oh, it's so good. But yeah, we're talking about The Godfather, not The Deer Hunter. So what did y'all think of the movie, or like first impressions? I know that me and Cody have seen this before. Malachi, since this was your first viewing, first impressions, what did you think?
Upon starting the movie, it's like one of those things where you see it and you feel like you know a little bit about the movie only because it's so culturally relevant. Where you oftentimes hear, oh, I'm going to make him an offer, he can't refuse, and you've heard about waking up with a horse head in your bed. At, like, different points in time, I've never known exactly what all of those have, like, what movie all of that has come from, so I was really excited to get to watch it, and I kind of got a feeling of what the movie was going to be like, that this was going to be a very no-nonsense kind of movie. In the opening scene, where Bonacera is talking to Don Corleone about his daughter being hurt, and he like struggles to speak for a moment, and he like gets choked up, and they give him a shot of whiskey to clear his throat, which I thought was really funny, as opposed to a glass of water. And I was like, oh, this movie is going to be interesting for sure. But after that, I was glued to it for a lot of the time. I had to watch it in three separate settings, but every time I like sat down to watch some of it, I was really entranced by it. I don't necessarily know if I have a number rating for it just yet, but I really enjoyed it.
I don't want to harp on just the first scene, but I love that it starts off with like a close-up of this guy, and he looks like kind of menacing. You're not really sure who he is yet. And then it just like slowly pans out for like 3 minutes. And then he kind of like is quivering a little bit, and he seems kind of nervous, and he's like balding. And then you start to see like him get smaller and smaller in the frame. And then like, you know, Corleone is kind of in the corner getting like bigger and bigger. I love that opening shot so much. It's so neat.
Can you imagine working with Marlon Brando? I mean, being in 2 years and doing something worth mentioning. And just to know what his work is before him. I mean, he's Marlon Brando still, no matter what his career had suffered in, is still.
What do y'all think of Marlon Brando, like as an actor? Like, Cody, I'm sure you've seen a couple movies of his. Me and Malachi were talking, and the only other thing I've seen him in is Apocalypse Now, which I really loved, but I haven't really on the waterfront. But.
Right, and Streetcar Named Desire is one of the two pinnacle roles, you know, that kind of made him a household name. I first watched A Streetcar Named Desire, and I absolutely loved it, and of course you've heard of Marlon Brando. Why is it special? And a lot of people, there's either two ways. Either he's overhyped or he's like the best actor of all time. And I think I'm made towards more of one of the best actors of all time. You can say what you want. he is one of the best actors of all. And it's because of his dramatic capabilities on screen. You know, there's no one else that can portray the characters you do in the way he does. And it shows, and even in The Godfather, even when I was mentioning earlier, I think this is before we started recording, about how the studios refused to work with Brando in this picture because of how difficult he is to work. I mean, honestly, I bet that would be a huge annoyance, especially, you know, trying to make a film here and there, you have this. I mean, he has, in my opinion, every right to be so, because there's no one like him and there's no one to be compared to him.
Yeah, I agree. He's very menacing and kind of creepy in this movie. Maybe creepy is not the right word. It's unsettling.
I think he's just a big figure, and I think everybody kind of treats him as such.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, just even in the end of the film, it's just to see him so lighthearted, it was kind of odd, right?
Oh, for sure. Where he put the orange in his mouth. I was like, this is very different than the rest of the movie.
Y'all know about the oranges in this movie, right? Anytime there's an orange on screen, it means somebody's about to die.
Somebody's about to die. Okay.
Yeah.
When he goes to the market and then gets shot.
What other symbolism did I notice in this movie? I don't know. I guess it's because it's my first time watching it. I didn't really notice a whole lot, but it was really nice to get to see Al Pacino in a role where I feel like he was still, well, I won't say, I don't know. He looked a hell of a lot younger in this than he does in The Irishman. And I feel like every time I see him in a movie where he's considerably older, I get distracted by that. Albert Pacino.
With the oranges, Vito buys him before he's ambushed. When Sonny is driving to the toll booth, they're on the billboard that he passes, and then every scene that has a meetup or a conference, there's always oranges in the background. Every mafia, well, I guess, you know, can't say mafia because that was what Cody, what were you saying about mafia? They didn't want to use the word mafia in the movie.
I don't feel like I remember hearing them use the word the mafia in the movie.
Right. There was a lot of Italians that were very angry and upset they were making a film about the mafia and then using the Italians and the like, because they didn't want the world to see Italians as gangsters. In order to get the picture approved, I believe Francis had to agree, or the studio had to agree, that they're not going to use the word mafia. Okay, well, I'm going to just talk about casting in general, because it's a hell of a cast. Diane Keaton.
John Cazale. What's his name? Robert Duvall, James Caan. Robert
Duvall, my man. Cinematography, what about that? I mean, that's huge in this movie.
I've actually got it on in the background right now. I just wanted to have, something visually to look at, and, you know.
I mean, I guess that would be an interesting movie to turn and just see a piece of it. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember this scene.
I'm at the part where Al Pacino, well, Michael, is trying to get Vito out of the hospital.
There are men who are about to place a hit on my father. You have to help me move him. I would definitely say the cinematography is pretty key in this movie, to go along with a lot of the slow moving scenes where they use heavy symbolism to show just how big of a character Vito Corleone is. In the scene you were talking about, Drew, where they have Bonacera become a smaller and smaller figure in the frame, I feel like it only leads itself to how big this family is in the grand scheme of things. And there's a lot of long, slow pacing scenes that I feel like are oftentimes filmed out of order. There's the one scene where Michael, he's going to talk to his dad when he's in the hospital, or he's going to save him. There's that long drawn out scene of him looking out the door, and you see the hallway that they walk through, the stairs, and it just keeps flashing back and forth between those couple of scenes before someone finally walks up. And I feel like that was a really sincere moment of we have to be quiet, we have to be patient to see what's happening. And I feel like they make the audience members feel that exact same way, you're anxious to see what's about to happen.
We can get into the editing a little bit and all of the crossfades that are used throughout almost every transition in the movie.
I couldn't help but notice that in the damn spinning newspaper. I was like, ah, no wonder. Anytime you use iMovie, that's the first one they have you use. They're like, use the spinning newspaper. Like a couple of other scenes that I thought the editing was really powerful in the movie, where there's a scene where Carlo is beating Connie and they like shut the door, and I like the really nice touch of the mirror on the bathroom door, so like whenever it swings open you get like that one last glimpse of Connie right before the door closes behind him, and you let her, then you hear her yell, and then as she starts crying the scene cuts to one of the like grandchildren crying on the phone when Mama Corleone is on the phone talking to her. I was like, oh, what a good scene. What a good transition on crying.
My favorite scene. Oh, wait, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Sorry. I was just going to, I sometimes confuse part one and part two together. So I was about to, I've already seen the second one to all the viewers who are wondering. And I was about to spoil the second one before I finished the first volume. So.
Yeah, I accidentally spoiled the third one like 10 minutes ago when I was researching stuff about the oranges. So.
No.
Oh, well. So, okay, Cody, you're the only one that's seen the second one, right?
Correct. I guess so.
Okay. How does it compare to this one? I know we're not in, like, talking about the second one yet, but what sets this one apart?
To be honest with you, to compare the two would be an injustice. I haven't seen the third one, so to all the viewers who have, I'm sorry. Not sorry, I'm just like, I can't put it upon myself to watch it, and I don't want to be that typical person like, well, it was only meant to be, you know, two films, not three, you know. He ruined it with the third, but no. After watching both of them, I realized one is only as good as the other when they're together. And with that being said, if you watch Kill Bill, most of you are like, oh, I like the first one, or I like the second one better. It's like, well, then you just like the first half of the movie then you, or the second. The idea is that they're seamless enough, you know, like versus Star Wars. If you watch episode 4 and then I watch episode 5, there's a lot of inconsistencies. I can't say that word. Within the two movies, of course, because, you know, time had passed and there was never intentions to make a second one. And even with The Godfather, there was never intentions to make a part two. Francis Ford Coppola refused to do the second one. And then when they were shopping around, hey, I'll just do it. So, but the fact that is, I don't view them as separate movies almost. I just view them as two parts. Like, you're just watching the other half of the movie. That being said,
part two only came out like 2 years after the first one.
Right. So there wasn't a lot of time for inconsistency. Like, the actors were still nearly the same age. You know, no one really passed. I mean, time hadn't really passed. I mean, if production takes over almost a year, plus, you know, post-production, all that stuff. So it's good. And in the sense, like, people were like, the second one's better. But they are, I mean, in the sense, they are two separate films in a way that you can enjoy one and two separately. But not in the sense that I probably wouldn't enjoy two as much if one didn't add so much to it. I know it's obvious, of course, but the reason why people say they like two so much is because it tastefully builds off one so well, I think. Because that's often, part two is often referred as one of the best sequels of all time. Because it holds up as its own movie, as Godfather Part Two. And that says a lot to Francis and the whole crew for making a wonderful story. I mean, it's based off Mario Puzo's novel, but, you know, I don't know how much of that was added for part two. Anyways, to answer your question short and simple, they're wonderful both movies, and they deserve to be put together as one film instead of, but like I said, can't speak for three, so I'm just going to leave that out there in the world.
Soon you can speak for three.
Yeah, I'll be forced to watch it. Thanks to you guys.
Oh, can't wait. That was going to be the best episode. Like, out of all three, I really think three is going to be the best one.
And why is that?
Just because I don't think it's supposed to be, like, a great movie. And I think we'll have the hang of what we're actually going for by the time three rolls around. And I think we can kind of have fun with it. Because I'm not expecting to do, like, a super deep dive into, you know, The Godfather Part 3.
I mean, you might end up loving it. You never know.
Low expectations going in, it may be more enjoyable than I imagined. And the thing is, I'll be watching it freshly. I'll be watching it as first time go around versus already watching The Godfather, and it's already been instilled in me as far as the story and the characters, everything around it.
I mean, it's not supposed to be like a terrible movie. It got nominated for Best Picture. People generally like it. I think there's just a very vocal minority that really is not a fan of Part 3.
Gotcha. It's probably, I mean, in a sense, it may be the same stance or like, oh, I don't like the prequels. I mean, and again, rightfully so as far as Star Wars. Sorry, I mean, the stands that don't like the prequels of Star Wars, you know, they just automatically put in a box or, you know, but, I mean, you can take it for what it is. I mean, not to say justify the prequels or even the sequels of the Star Wars franchise, but just to say this was made years later. This is not my movie as far as The Godfather Part 3.
And it's still Coppola and Puzo. The script, like it has to have some redeeming qualities in there,
right? And it still has Al Pacino and all the, you know, fallen characters. So, or for the most part, Smith died. Keaton, I don't know who else returns in the film. To be honest, I know Sophia Coppola, his daughter, Francis' daughter, plays, I think, the Michael's child's daughter or his granddaughter.
Yeah, I've heard she's like awful in it.
Oh God, I
can't like wait. Really, really bad.
But for to speak back to The Godfather Part 1.
Yes.
I think, I mean, it's 3 hours long. And it's a lot to take in. So, I mean, it's I personally am not that big into politics. But it wraps completely around into politics. And it makes it so interesting. Which, of course, it uses violence and all these things to, you know, surround it. But I thoroughly enjoy The Godfather and all of its hype and sense of... Great cast, great storytelling. I mean, there's no other movie that I can, other than, is Blade Runner almost 3 hours long? Isn't that right? No, it's over two.
Yeah, I think Blade Runner 1 is only like 2. Blade Runner 2 is very, very long. I think it's close to 3, yeah.
Really? I didn't know that was that long. The second one, or...
Super, super long.
3 hours of pure goodness, and I wouldn't change a single thing about it.
Yeah, yeah. I first saw The Godfather, probably... 2 years ago, I think, and I wasn't nearly as into movies as I am now. And I watched it on my iPad, and
what a cinematic experience!
Yeah, yeah. I think I just wanted to like get it over with because I had heard so much about The Godfather, and it was like leaving Netflix soon. I just wanted to check it out, see what all the hype was about. Honestly, didn't really love it the first time. I was pretty lost. And I just thought it was kind of overhyped, but part two had always intrigued me. I don't know, something just kind of like kept pulling me back towards wanting to rewatch the first one again. I forgot most of the beats of the movie since it had been 2 years. I've watched like a million and a half things since then. You know, watching it with fresh eyes was great. I picked up on a ton of new stuff. I actually kind of knew what was going on now and didn't get lost with the billion characters.
There are a lot of characters to keep up with, for sure.
Yeah, but like it all kind of works out. I think I just wasn't really in the right headspace the first time.
And I think it's one of those situations where like the more movies you watch, the more you understand, like the more you know what to keep an eye out for. You're like, oh, I feel like this person will probably be pivotal later, so let me remember names. And I do feel like the movie is like very forgiving, because I feel like every time they address someone, they always use their name. Like, every time. Like, I can't tell you how many times I heard them say Michael, Mikey, Mickey in the movie. Whenever he was just, like, sitting there, I don't know, drinking water. And they're like, they address everybody by their name to try to, like, help you remember.
I applaud them for trying. I was just so lost the first time I saw it. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it upon second viewing. And
that's an interesting thought. I mean... Maybe you matured since then, or maybe your perception, you're okay, the first viewing, you're like, okay, I feel it's only right to watch this movie everyone talks about, you know, it's just in culture, embedded in culture. So after that, you're like, okay, the sense of obligation watching it. And then, but now, being more sophisticated and more mature, you go in with an attitude of, okay, I appreciate cinema, so therefore, I need to go in with an open mind and take it all for what it is. And you enjoyed it more so. Not in a pretentious way, like, hey, this is one of the best movies of all time, according to the internet, so I have to like this movie. It genuinely is a good movie. I think that as a moviegoer, or as a movie lover, you appreciate elements in film more so as in each film you may watch or enjoy. And when you see a film that embodies all those things, or that has been not necessarily taken from, but, you know, inspired by it, then you're like, okay, this is great. This is how cinema should be. And I think that's what makes The Godfather so pleasurable, because it did break a lot of rules as far as cinematography, or not break rules, but make new rules of what you can do to that. Kudos to Francis, because he was still a young guy. I mean, I think he was in his 30s, maybe? Yeah, because this is all time when young studio guys, this is like early in his career. This is not, I'm going to say maybe early 40s, but I know that he was a young buck. I mean, still, to make something this big, at this scale, with these actors, I mean, come on. With not huge credits to his name, I mean, this is before all the things you know. I mean, this was, Apocalypse Now, Outsiders, if you like that movie.
Jack.
Jack. What is, I'm not familiar, what is Jack?
Oh, you never heard of Jack?
Never have heard
it
of Jack.
It apparently has Robin Williams in it.
Yeah, it came out in the 90s. It's where Robin Williams is Robin Williams, but he plays like a 10-year-old in a 40-year-old man's body.
Oh yes, that's okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And goes to school and does graduates, and he, yes, like his body forms. Okay, yeah, I have seen that film. I forgot that's what it was called. Yeah, Jack. Yeah. Okay.
It has Bill Cosby in it.
I just saw that, and I was about to say something.
Francis Ford Coppola directed that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, did not know that.
It was a weird time, man.
God.
I think The Godfather was like his first big movie. Well, The Conversation.
God bless Conversation. Let's talk about that. Gene Hackman.
Conversation and Godfather Part 2 came out in the same year.
Conversation is easily one of my favorite films. I cannot believe I forgot about that, honestly.
It's on my list. I have not seen it. It is on my list.
That movie makes me irk every time I watch it. It's just unsettling. Ooh, just gotta watch it. Unsettling this. The cinematography. The opening shot. God bless. Anyways, just watch it. Can't hype it up enough. It's really good.
What else can we touch on The Godfather that we haven't talked about? The score? Are we qualified to talk about that?
I just have one little note about the movie and about the sound that it uses. Is it just me, or does it feel like a lot of the sounds in the movie, they sound like they were recorded afterwards? Because, like, at times, there's, like, one scene when I think it's Tom. He's, like, walking down this long hallway, and the footsteps sound so loud. And then there's, like whenever the plane lands, in the very, like, early scenes, whenever Tom goes to visit Walt, the plane, like, the tires skirting on the ground, it's very loud, where you can, like, hear it, like, and it probably wouldn't be that loud if you just, like, recorded the sound. Whenever Sonny is beating Carlo in the street, the, like, garbage can hitting him in the head doesn't sound like it came from that scene. There's, like, a lot of, like, scenes in the movie that I thought were really funny just because of the way it sounded. Like, I don't know, shoes hitting somebody's, like, face just doesn't sound like that.
Do we have any, like, nitpicks or issues with The Godfather?
Only nitpick it would probably be, I love James Caan. I think he did a wonderful job as an acting, but I just can't convince that he's a natural born of Don Corleone. I mean, he's, you know, blonde-headed. You know, like, all the other ones have it's only really Michael and then his sister. They're dark-headed, and then the other brother's adopted.
Fredo's adopted?
Uh-huh. No. Oh, shit, I forgot about Fredo. My bad. Oh. Okay, Fredo, and then, what's his name?
Tom Hagen?
Yes, thank you. The law, family law. Yes, thank you, Robert Duvall's character.
I thought you were about to blow a bigger, like, hole in the movie. I was like, wait a minute, you mean to tell me they didn't tell me that Fredo was adopted? I was like, I know they said he was, like, strange or weird, or they were just like, and, you know, Fredo's, like, Fredo. And I was like, was he adopted? And they just didn't say. I was like, was it left with imagination? Well,
great casting. He actually, I can't think of his name to save my life. Maybe you guys help me here.
John Cazale.
John Cazale. Okay, so he was only in like a select few pictures in his life, in his career, and then died. But he, I think he made only 5 pictures or something like that. And they all were nominated for Oscars, all of them. The guy did not, he did Dog Day Afternoon also with Pacino.
The Conversation?
The Conversation, very small role in Conversation.
Deer Hunter?
And Deer Hunter, yes. There you go, thank you. And Godfather Part 1 and 2. God, he really shows his acting skills in Part 2. I won't spoil anything, but man, what a guy. What to say about him?
Wow. And only in 5 movies.
Right.
That's insane. Holy shit.
And all were nominated for Oscars, and all were great films, and all are pretty much nominated. All are under the list of best films of all time, as far as. Even, and then they never played the main lead or all supporting roles, and that's crazy.
And he was dating or married to Meryl Streep.
Really?
Which I think is a really interesting note. I did not know that.
Really? Didn't know that either. Oh, Meryl, she's a keeper.
Malachi.
Mm-hmm. Nitpicks. There's nothing like inherently wrong about the movie that I feel like caused me to not enjoy it. So I don't think there's anything that I can like say. I don't think there's anything in my brain that I could be like, oh, if they had changed this or if they had changed that would make the movie any better, because I feel like it's overall, it's really well put together. And I feel like it tells a very, if we're just speaking about the first one, I feel like it tells a very cohesive story. And I feel like if the original Godfather movie was supposed to be the only one, I feel like it ends it in a very like understandable and meaningful way. So I don't think I have anything bad to say about it. I really enjoyed it.
What about you, Drew?
Yeah, I love this movie. I mean,
any fix?
If you would have asked me 2 years ago, yes, absolutely. But yeah, I really, really, really dug it when I watched it again last week. Off of my head, I really can't think of anything that, I mean, is worth talking about that I really dislike about it.
There was one scene in it where they're speaking about black people that I thought was really funny. Or not funny, it's just, it took me by surprise when, like, a lot of the Dons, when the 5 families are sitting at the table, they're discussing about what to do with the drug situation in New York. And there's like just like an offhanded, or not offhanded, it's like not really directed, but they just make a statement about selling drugs to black people. And then they say that black people don't have a soul, which I thought was really, it was really like, it really took me aback hearing that said in the movie. I mean, I'd imagine that a lot of the phrases that are used in the movie that are like Italian or probably some slurs here or there. But I thought that one really stuck out to me. It did make me go, huh, well.
I think what we're wanting to do with this little mini series is talk about a new part of The Godfather, you know, each week, have a new episode posted each Friday. You know, we're gradually getting back into this. I know this one was rusty and it has been a while since we have recorded, but I feel like Part 2 is going to be better.
We can go back and forth with Part 1 and 2 versus just being trapped with only speaking about one. Like I said, the films have this direct correlation with each other, of course, and they're not, it's, 2 is more back and forth, of course, because, you know, as you see, it's not a linear structure. It's a back and forth timeline, but, you know, we'll have more source material to talk about versus, you know, not to say to mean one, it's a great film. It's hard to speak about the film without sounding a tad bit pretentious.
Yeah, I feel like talking about The Godfather is kind of tricky because, like, what hasn't been said about The Godfather? Like, everyone and their mother has seen this movie. You've seen it too, Malika.
I mean, just now, just today.
Part 2 coming next week.
If you can handle it.
I think that's it. I think that's all we got.
Done, Cody.
You want to add anything else about the movie?
I'm really excited to watch Godfather 2. I'm interested to see what do they do next, because, I mean, it seems pretty apparent that Kay is not happy with Michael being in the quote-unquote mafia. So I'm interested to see like how that's going to play out in their relationship.
Oh, they don't resolve that at all.
Well, there you go.
I'm just kidding. That was sarcasm.
Oh,
you'll understand why after watching this second one. Well, guys, thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We know it's been a while. I cannot say that word to save my life. The inconsistency has been bad. But we're genuinely interested in film about it and just having a conversation. That's
well put. Yeah, we'll be back next week. Be sure to tune in for Godfather Part 2. It's going to be much better than this one. Just figuring things out again. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Catch you guys next week.
Catch you guys next week. Yep.
Catch you later, Drew.
See you. Bye, guys.
Bye.